this moment of that moment of intercession, God was aligning us to his heart. Did you feel it? That maybe you haven't had that moment of corporate intercession before, but in that moment, something happened. Worship primed and readied our hearts, but then we entered into another level of prayer and intercession. On Friday night through Saturday afternoon, we did a 24-hour prayer initiative on Elam campus. 2 years ago, we launched a prayer team that's been doing daily prayer, just coming after God to see his face, to see him move in a fresh way, to pursue revival for Elam, not just on campus, but as a whole. And so over the weekend, we did a 24-hour initiative. One of the things that we did, my wife led a session on praying for the lost. She found it was I don't know if it was butcher paper. I don't know what it was. She found this massive, amazing paper, laid it out on the floor at Elam Gospel Church, and had every single person in the room come up and write down the names of all the unsaved people that they know. So it was an incredible paper full of people that God created, that God loves, but they're far from him. On the way here, a text message from one of the people at the prayer conference said, I wrote down my entire family members' names. Two of them yesterday gave their lives to Christ. Come on, that's amazing. Because something's happening in this moment. Look at that. My sermon, Josh told me the name of my sermon, by the way, On Mission. Last night he texted me late. He's like, bro, what's your sermon called? I'm like, I don't know. Fun with Alex. I don't know what this sermon's called. But this sermon is called On Mission. Because see, what prayer does, prayer not only moves heaven to move forward the kingdom, but also prayer changes us. See, I find when I'm in seasons of prolonged prayer, encountering his presence, and just like Pastor Jeff said, maybe don't have all the right words, but how many of you have had a baby before? Okay, we're God children to a lot of kids around Elam, okay? And I don't get it, but a little 2-year-old Sammy can go up to mommy and go, boo boo gaga boo boo. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute. He speaks in tongues. You're raising this kid up right. And mom looks at me and says, no, he's hungry. I'm like, boo boo gaga. I didn't understand that. Listen, sometimes that's my prayer life to Abba Father. I get into his presence and I'm a blobbering mess. Words aren't coming out. It's not tongues. It's not English. But guess what? Abba knows. He knows the cry of my heart, exactly what I need. And friends, I'm telling you, God is uniting his church all around the world to be on mission. And the best part about this is that God is not bringing his church globally. Is this okay? Okay. If you want me to stop, I'll stop and preach something else. I'm totally fine with that. I preach at Camp Judah. I'm used to just changing topics randomly, okay? But what I love about God bringing his bride, his church on mission, is that he doesn't do it through action. He does it through surrender. And I think the church globally right now, I have a few stories that I want to share about how God, this thing we're feeling and just experienced at the end of worship, God is bringing the entire global church to that same place. And I, as the missions guy at Elam, I get to hear reports and stories of all these amazing miracles, but the trend is the same thing. He's uniting us in deeper prayer. And not just the intercessors. I know that this church has a few of the token intercessors. Prayer at 3 a.m. on Saturdays, they're here. Prayer at 3 p.m. on Saturdays, they're here. You know, there's a few people in this church that even a word that begins with prayer, they're going to be there. It's not going to be prayer. It could be a praise night. They're going to be there at the service. But what God is doing is he's bringing this initiative of prayer to every single believer. Because the Great Commission and fulfilling this mission that God has us on is not for just the really, really, really good Christians that read their Bible every day, that maybe go overseas to be a missionary. No. In order for us to see this entire planet saturated with the gospel of Jesus, saturated with churches, churches just like this that honor prayer, that honor worship, the way that it's going to happen is that every believer realizes they have an important part to play. But the way God does it, he doesn't call us to action first. He calls us to surrender. Instead of standing up and charging the enemy, I think God in this season is looking for sons and daughters, men and women, families, churches, to be people that fall on their knees first and look to heaven. You know, over this past 2 years, it's been an interesting time to be a missions director when the world shut down. It makes planning trips really fun because you're like, yo, next summer, we're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to go to Brazil. You can plan as many trips as you want because they're not going to happen. So you just start listing out things. Get all the branding right. Like, we're taking Israel for Christ. We're taking every Muslim country. You can plan it all you want. They're not going to happen. But can I tell you what happened? 2 years ago, Jody and I just retweeted the photo. 2 years ago, we were on the streets of China. And I'm getting text messages from underground church leaders telling me it's not safe to go outside. These are people that have been arrested, beaten, imprisoned. And they're texting me, I finally visit their homeland. And that's when I knew this was a problem. The persecuted church was saying, bro, let's just text. I'm like, oh, baby, why are we here in this moment? So for the past 2 years, we've been in this awkward space of like the actual like instructions and the actual plan that we had. Everything was sidelined. But can I tell you what God spoke to us? God spoke to us. He said, during this season, I want you to double down in prayer. Yet, now, could you launch teams everywhere? Could you launch all these initiatives? Has the global shutdown messed up plans? Yes, it has. But God spoke to us so clearly, and he said this. Before you have a going movement, you need to have a prayer movement. Before you get caught up in all the action of stuff, reaching the world for Christ, revival, first be a people of prayer. First, allow your heart to come into alignment with what my heart longs for. And you know the beautiful thing is that the more I pray, the more I get in line with what God wants, the more I realize a lot of my ideas for what I thought God wanted were really, if you trace it back, connect the dots, it's what Alex wanted. And Jody knows that's a bad plan. Those thoughts are not your thoughts, okay? These are Alex's thoughts. So prayer is the vehicle right now. I see him uniting the church. In fact, the persecuted church in Asia, when this first shutdown happened, what we did as Elam is we raised $20,000 to buy masks from Singapore to send them to the underground church all across China. It was phenomenal. Churches gave thousands of dollars. We found this amazing supplier in Singapore 2 years ago. They got more masks than we bargained for. We sent them to the underground church. You know what they did? They automatically took half of the masks that we bought and they gave them away to the police. They prayed. They came together. We can clap for that. That's pretty neat. They came together as leaders. Now, this is like 2-3 million people, okay? That's the movement that Elam, that's who we're a part of. We're connected to them. They would be in this church seeing us as brothers and sisters. 3 million people, those leaders came together. They said, hey, we only have so many masks. Let's take half. Let's make sure our churches and our leaders and families, those that are sick, let's make sure we get them to them. So, because we don't know what this is. We don't know what this is 2 years ago. None of us knew we'd be here today. But the only thing they did is they developed care packages for local police stations. And this is like, you know, like back, I'm not sure if I haven't been to a post office in so long. So, but I remember when I was little, I grew up in a little town in North Jersey. You know, it's very dangerous there. Okay, Northwest Jersey, kind of like Lyme, more cows than people. And so, like, but I remember going to the post office with my mom, and I always thought it was like, I thought it was a police station, because you'd go in, and on the wall, there's all the faces of the criminals. So I'd always look for my dad's face. I'd be like, okay, we're good. Okay. They haven't caught on to the pyramid scheme yet, Josh. Okay, good. We're still good. And so I look there, and then I look around. If I didn't see them in the room, I don't know what else I could do to help them find these criminals. I'm like looking at every face. But like those underground church pastors, they're on the walls of these police stations. These are the ones they're chasing and pursuing and trying to lock up. They walked into those police stations with a package, and they came in. They simply said, here's the deal. We're the church. You know it. You think we're about this. This is what we're about, extravagant love. And I'm telling you, when they did that, they robbed those police people of all the other things that they wanted you to pursue them. What they did is they extended the love of Christ. What is that? Through prayer and thinking through their situation, God got them on mission. And I'm telling you, if you talk to the persecuted church all around the world, leaders that have been in it for a long time, they never ask you to stop praying for them with persecution. It doesn't work in our Western minds. We'd be like, do you want us to pray to stops? And they go, no. Pray that the same heart and the same persecution we experienced years ago happens today again. And I'm going, what is it? And I'm like, I need to pray more. That makes me pray more. Because I go, God, free them from it. Get them away from it. But something happens through prayer where your heart aligns with God. And the underground church all over the world, outside of China and beyond, understands when times of persecution come, God turns up the fire. And those that don't give themselves to prayer flake out and fade away. But when persecution and hard times come and we give our lives to prayer, we align to his heart, we surrender in a fresh way, the church grows exponentially. I'll never forget 2 years ago, there actually was one underground church leader that met with us. I was like, this is awesome. This is a good report. So he drove into the city. A lot of the roads were shut down. Also not a good sign. We're in a city larger than New York City. You couldn't get in. They literally had to drive across like farmers' fields to get into the city to then meet up with us. So I'm sitting down with them and we're talking about stuff and obviously COVID and shutdown, but also persecution. He said, Alex, he says, my young leaders that are in their 20s and 30s don't get it. I'm in my late 50s and what I experienced 30 years ago made me the leader that I am today and allowed the church to grow like ever. So he says, I'm praying, not that people get harmed, not that hard times come, I'm praying that we can capture this moment. And friends, I'm telling you, here in the States, I'm praying we capture this moment. I don't know. There are so many issues that we could be left and right and all about. Listen to that. Throw that all away right now. I want us to capture this moment. The church is made for this moment. Hello? Like the church should be shining the brightest in this moment. And how do we capture the moment? We give ourselves to become a people of prayer. Turn down the volume on the news a little bit. Turn up the volume. I lost my Bible a couple months ago. I'm a bad leader. Turn up the volume on your phone Bible, okay? It's a real Bible. It counts, okay? Like, but Alex, I don't understand it. It's okay. When you dive into the Word, you might not mentally all get there. You get changed. Something radically happens in your spirit. But Alex, the book of Leviticus is confusing. That's okay. You're confusing. Maybe something magical will happen where you read confusing things. God does some heaven math and you be changed. Like, just throw yourself. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the Word and amazing things will happen because, number one, you will be forever changed. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 10:2 right now. Josh is going to give me a thumbs up when the pizza's here. That's when I'm going to stop preaching, okay? I'm going to preach until the pizza comes. It's very like, pray until the Holy Spirit comes, then you're free. Send the pizza and salad, Lord. I'm excited for that salad, Pastor Jeff. Jordan and Ash are leaving right after service. Again, I feel this is horrible, but we have a meeting in Pittsburgh tonight, so we have to go down there. Here's the deal. In Luke 10:2, check this out. I feel like God is setting the disciples up in 2022. Like when I look at this scripture, understand God or Jesus is like gathering his disciples. And Luke 10, it's a scripture where he's preparing them for a short-term mission trip. So check this out. He's preparing his followers to bring his kingdom further. And in 2022, I feel like it's the same. Like if he was here, I feel like he'd be saying the same things to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 10. Let me grab also. Give me 1 second here. Luke 10:2, if you're there, say, okay. Okay, here I am. Okay, so check this out. He said to them, the harvest truly is great. Somebody say great. But the laborers are few. Somebody say few. Now, those words great. Jerry Seinfeld has a new Netflix special. Has anybody watched that? No? Okay, we're all Christians here. Okay, Josh, I know you have. Okay, we'll talk about it later. I see his Netflix search history. It's amazing. But that word great has been misused in American culture for hundreds of years. So like, Alex, how's your marriage going? Great. Alex, how do you feel about the New York Giants football future stealing all the Bills players? Great. Hey, Alex, how do your shoes feel? Great. Alex, how's your relationship with Josh? Great. You know, like great has 1,000 different meanings. And then also the word few, listen, we're Americans, the few. The proud, the pioneers. Like there's something in the American spirit that says, I don't want thousands of people. I just need a few and we can take the world. Like, but the words in Greek aren't those words. The words in Greek, if you look up the Greek meaning of the word great, a better translation in our language is overwhelming. Now listen to Jesus say, the harvest is overwhelming. overwhelming. Now I'm like, all the hope's left my body. Okay, the harvest, when you hear the harvest is great, it's like, great, I feel great too. Let's go. No, Jesus is saying, listen, the harvest, it's too great. It's too fast. It's going to overwhelm you in 1 second. It's like going to the beach and trying to capture the grains of sand, let alone just take a scoop of sand and then try to count the grains of sand there. It's too great. It's overwhelming. Jordan and I, as I said before, we love to go to Florida. We love to go to beaches. And I like to stand and look out as far as I can to see if the earth is flat. No, I like to look as far as I can. And I love just not being, is that a touchy subject too soon? Okay, that's another sermon. I'll do it another time. We'll save it for the men's conference. So I like to look out as far as I can until there's just like nothing. And I'm like, has everyone ever gone out there? Like, I get overwhelmed. A few years ago, we took a sabbatical. We were in Colorado. We're in the Rocky Mountains. I remember being at a place. I'm like, baby, I don't see the mountain. Jody's like, look up. I looked up and I'm looking at I kept on looking up. And there are the Rockies right in front of me. An overwhelming feeling came over me that made me feel very, very small. And when Jesus says the laborers are few, that's not the few, the proud, the Marines. That word, if you trace it back, a better translation today is the word puny. So remember, Jesus is about to send, just picture the moment. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. Jesus is about to send the disciples on their first short-term trip. And he goes, all right, guys, here's the play. Where you're going to the harvest, it's overwhelming. They're going to kill you. And guess what? The laborers, they're like, that's us. That's us. What's he going to say about us? Puny. Okay. Jesus is not the best motivational speaker. Okay. Like, he's diffusing the troops. He's not building them up. But I'm telling you what Jesus is doing is he's setting them up for the action plan. So friends, I want you to look around your life. I mean, we just pray. I know Pastor Jeff didn't go through all the prayer needs that are in this house. But think through your own life. Think through our nation. Think through your company. Think through your family. It gets overwhelming. It gets absolutely chaotic. And then you look it around. Like, I mean, we pray for godly leaders and government and stuff like that. You start to look around and it's like, sometimes my prayers go into complaining because I'm just like, God, we know that your kingdom is a solution. We know that I feel puny sometimes when I look at the solutions that we need for our country. Godly leaders, fantastic churches in every single major town and city. Like, sometimes I just feel like, man, there's not enough. But Jesus says, perfect. That's the exact place I want you to be. I want you to understand how vast and how great the mission is. And I want you to feel the chasm that it creates for the people to accomplish that. But friends, now Jesus gives a strategy. Check this out. The next verse, he says, therefore, pray. And guys, those two words have completely revolutionized my entire life over the past few years. Because if I create that same scenario of like the overwhelming harvest, puny workers, what happens to me is I want some sort of remember the Titans, Rudy Braveheart moment. I come into that locker room and I'm like, all right, guys, they're killing us out there. Peter, you're lopping people's ears off. Like, Judas, you're a betrayer, but you're still in the game. Okay, we're here to, but I would try to mobilize them for stand up and charge and give it all you got. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus says, no. See, here's the secret. When the odds are stacked against you, all around you, you might feel, check this out, in your own strength to go get them. But God's saying, before you stand up and give it all your all, I want you to hit your knees and pray. And I'm telling you, all around the church, this is not a message for in America. I'm saying all around the globe, this is what God's speaking. There are a people that God is uniting in this hour. He didn't cause the pandemic. He didn't cause COVID. This whole thing is absolutely of darkness, of the demonic realm. It's absolutely chaotic. But you know, and I know, God takes whatever situation, breathes on it, redeems it, and uses it for his glory. One of the ways, there's thousands of ways, one of the ways he's doing it is he's causing his church to come to pray. He's causing us to see, like, God, what's the future? So many people have talked to me, what's the future of missions? I always go, very, very bright. Because you want to know what? Over the past 2 years, during a global shutdown, we've sent and added more missionaries at Elam than the previous 5 years combined. A global shutdown has caused the church to have a global vision. The fact that we can't go to nations and we can't go to work and all these other things, I don't know why. This would not be my solution to see a missions movement. But God is saying, I'm going to use this for my glory. I'm going to breathe on it. And as people pray and as people are united, what happens? They get on mission. Because there's people that have been called to the nations for so long, but they're just working, doing the regular thing. But when all that was brought to a stop, they gave themselves to prayer. Something shifted in their hearts. They said, now's the time. We're seeing young people. We're seeing, I don't say old people. I say seasoned saints. That helps you not get fired. So this is good. Yeah, seasoned saints. I say mature believers with a capital M, mature believers. But we're seeing pastors serve for 30 years call me and go, Alex, listen, we've been called to the nations for so long. We're going. We're transitioning to the church. And we're going to head over to the Middle East somewhere. Like, not just young people getting out. I'm telling you, all ages and backgrounds right now, God is mobilizing them for the harvest fields. And it's not because, like, we have a horrible recruiting strategy. My only pitch that I give to people in missions is like, yo, if God's called you, let's do this thing. High five. Like, that's it. If you're not supposed to go to the nations, I don't want you to go to the nations. The biggest liability and problem are people that think they should be overseas, but they're not supposed to be. That sounds like a horrible problem. That's a lot of phone calls for Uncle Alex of what he has to solve. But if God is giving you a burden, trust me, we're going to get you there. And we're going to send you out. So now I want us to read this scripture a little bit more in Luke 10, 2. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. This is very, very important for our pronouns here. To send out laborers into his harvest fields. See, sometimes we think it's like, you know, Alex, you're the missions guy. What's your plans for the nations? We do have plans for nations. We have some insane plans for the nations. But I'm telling you, when God breathes upon you, when you pray, when you align, when your first action towards addressing this massive thing of the harvest is not to stand up and fight, but to fall down and pray and just cry out to God and seek him. What happens is there's a perspective shift of understanding the world that I'm in, this is your harvest field. This isn't my harvest field. It's your harvest field. And friends, when you become a people of prayer, when you realize it's his harvest, what happens is you transition from becoming a people of prayer. What happens is you slowly start to become a people of full dependence. Because when you see how big the harvest is, how few the laborers are, You start to move in your own strength. And it's not like a sinful thing. It's not like you're bad, go home, stay in the prayer closet until you're... No, it's like it's just a natural response we have as believers. We want to see his kingdom grow. We want to see families saved. But what happens is the longer you follow Luke 10 2, the more that you pray, the more that you grow and saying, okay, God, I'm going to ask you to send workers. God, you're the one to solve the problem. There's few laborers, but God, I'm giving my life to you. These are your people. This is your company. This is your family. These are your harvest fields. The longer you do that, the more all of a sudden dependent you become on him. And now the things inside of you that would start to creep up where you want to do it and I'm going to get it done, and all that stuff just starts to die away. And John says, you must increase, but I... That's called the secret of the sound man of heaven, okay? A lot of times, I know for myself, I want Jesus to increase and then Alex increases too. And it's like, Jesus, our voices are the same level. Who's speaking right now? Is this you or me? It's us. Woo! It's like, no, this is what needs to happen. And it's not like don't write this on your mirror and like say it every day, okay? I'm not that guy. Get on your knees. This is the only formula I know. Get on your knees. Say, oh my Jesus, it's too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. It's too great. The amount of issues and problems, I don't even get it. The amount of people that I think that are ready to solve that issue, I'm seeing the chasm. But you stay in that place. Allow you to become develop yourself to become rooted in prayer, rooted in intercession. And I'm telling you, become dependent on him. All of your strength that you have that would complicate the situation, all that strength starts to fade away. And then what happens is the strength of God fills you in a fresh way. And now it's like, well, I have a leadership talk. I talk about like the timing of God and how do we discern the timing. And the only thing I tell them is like, I don't know. Just stay in his presence long enough for you to leave. They're like, yeah, but like, how do I know when it's time? I don't know. Just like, just that means it's not time. Just stay there. If you're still freaking out, I still hear you. Just like, stay there. And then when I step out, I'm in his, like, I'm in the metronome of heaven. Like, I can't describe it. I can't say, like, I don't know, but something has left the building, and it's not his presence. It's not his will. It's all of my chutzpah ideas, Alex syndrome, all that stuff is gone. And what I find is now my life is being built upon being dependent on him. That revolutionizes my faith. That revolution, now I see I'm in the chasm of the great harvest and few workers, and I'm going like, oh, yeah, we've been set up for this, yo. This looks like it's going to work out. Where before, I'm freaking out. I'm not liking it. I'm texting people. I'm watching. Now I'm like, oh, I'm seeing what you're seeing, God. Like, I position myself in prayer. I become a person of prayer, but now I'm a person of dependence. And the best news is when you step out, check this out, a people of prayer become a people of dependence. But the best news ever is that a people of dependence become a people of his presence. Because now you've waited for Alex to leave the building. Now you're full of his presence. You're full of his spirit. You're full of his grace. Now when you come out into the world, you're a worker ready to address the craziest, worst situations of all time. And this is happening all around the world. This isn't a message. I mean, this is a message for us this morning, but I'm telling you, I'm just trying to highlight what I see happening all around the world. God is uniting his bride for such a time as this. To pray, to dig deeper, to dive into the scriptures, to worship, to pray, to come together for such a time as this. Why? Because he knows that a people of prayer will become a people dependent on him, not dependent on their own strength. But then a people of dependence ultimately become a people of his presence. Friends, can I tell you something? That's what this entire planet needs. They need to encounter people that are full of his presence. Because then when we come into the room and cancer's in the room, we're fearless. When we come into a boardroom and the finances are down and things are chaotic, salad ran out at our board meeting, it's like, what is that? Like, I don't know what's happening here. When we're full of his presence, we're ushering in the kingdom of God in a fresh way. My favorite story about the presence of God comes from the 1800s, where Charles Finney was doing these revivals along the East Coast in New England. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to end this time by singing Build My Life. When we sing that during worship, I was like, this is it, man. Just declaring that song for ourselves, but this church, this area. But Charles Finney was ministering in New England, and as he was ministering, the presence of God was so strong throughout the Boston area. As ships were coming into the harbor, the presence of God was falling on the ships. Families would come to welcome their, you know, long-lost cousins and family members off of the ships, and no one was getting off. So, like, Aunt Jane's supposed to be here at 3. There's no one getting off. So they're probably going, oh, did scurvy hit the ship? Did they not make it? Like, they're trying to figure out what is going on. So what happened? Like, this happened, like, for many, many years. They would come to where the ships are. No one would be getting off. They would come onto the ships to find their families. They would find them huddled around in prayer and weeping and repentance. They didn't even know who Charles Finney was. They didn't go to the crusade. They didn't come to America to go to the crusade. They came into an area that the presence of God had permeated, and that changed their life forever. Listen, there's some people that know the gospel better than you do. I know, I went to Bible school. I know there's people that know the Bible better than I do. But you know what? I never try to win someone to Christ through argumentative, you can win them through a moment of being a people of his presence. they're coming at you with all sorts of things, and they're expecting you to get all angry and triggered and come back with all sorts of things. What they're going to encounter is they're going to find someone who has built up a life of prayer. They've identified the chasm, but then that person's become a people of dependence, a person of dependence, and now they're having this moment with you, and you're anchored in the veil. You're anchored in the throne room of heaven, and now you're carrying his presence into that area. I truly believe this next revival is going to play out exactly how this is. The next revival that sweeps through all the nations and the world is not going to be one person gathering thousands in a stadium. I truly don't believe that. Even though it's going to happen, and I bless it, and I pray that thousands get saved, but this next revival are thousands of people loving the one. And it's not the crazy evangelists that go to the mall on Saturdays and evangelize. God bless you if you do. You're amazing. Not all of us should be that. This is what we should be, though, a people that are anchored in his presence. And when we come into a room, when you go to a family reunion, when you go to your work, yeah, that touched somebody. When you go into your work, when you go into Walmart, when you go to school, you are exactly what they've been waiting for. I pray more evangelists do come to our area. I mean, New York's going to get whacked with the gospel. It's going to be amazing. His presence is going to sweep through this. I pray there's more, but I'm telling you, there's an awakening of an army all around the planet that are fulfilling Luke 10:2. Can you stand with me as we close? We're going to worship together. But if that's you, if you're saying, okay, Alex, I've been overwhelmed, and my hands are going to be up with you right now as well. I've been overwhelmed by the world around me, not overwhelmed by his presence, not overwhelmed by how good God is. I just want you to raise up both hands right now. We're going to do a couple responses. If you've been overwhelmed by situations, you've been overwhelmed by news, you've been overwhelmed by the state of our government, you've been overwhelmed by the state of our schools, you've been overwhelmed by the state of yourself even, just put both hands up right now. This is the first step of becoming a people of dependence. We're not trying to have it all together. That's what's so beautiful about the family of God. We're not trying to fake it till we make it. What we're doing is saying, God, my hands are up because I'm declaring I need you in a fresh way. Receive his strength right now. All across this room, receive his strength. God, we do pray into that. John 3, you would increase, but I would decrease. Right now, all across this room, God, our perspective has been so focused on the overwhelming sense of the harvest in our nation and the country and the world and all the other issues that go along with it. Right now, God, our hands are up to say, we invite new perspective. We invite new dependence. We invite you to come in and touch us in a way that only you can, Holy Spirit, in a way that only you can, Lord God. God, we're not trying to fake it. We're not trying to will it. We're not trying to pretend like we have it all together or everything's good, a positive, encouraging mindset. No, God, we're just being real. We're being raw. We're being open before you. So come, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Sometimes in our own strength, we try to figure out your grace. But right now, all that leaves the building. Sometimes in our own strength, we try to fulfill your mission. Right now, we're becoming a missional people by throwing up our hands and saying, oh, Jesus, come. Therefore, pray. Just allow his presence to come in, to fill you in a fresh way. You might have a situation even arise as your hands are up and we're worshiping right now. You might have a situation arise. Just give it to God right now. Just give it to him in a fresh way. And say, Lord, this situation might not go away, but God, I give it to you. Change my perspective. Change my heart. Help me to see your mission in a fresh way, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. I see a picture of Jesus right now with the biggest smile on his face. Because what he's sensing in this room right now are a people that are full of mission, but are drained of all their own strength and effort. And he says, that's what I can use right there. That's my secret sauce. That's what I want. Imagine what we can accomplish together of a people fully surrendered and dependent on me all across this place. The other thing is this, is that I'm going to ask for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jody and maybe some elders to be up here. My wife, Jody, and we have two Jodys here. Great service. My wife, Jody, and myself will be up here. And here's the deal. If you've been dry in this season and you're saying, Alex, man, I've had moments of experiencing his presence, right? I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't stop feeling it. Listen, I truly believe God wants to release his tangible presence to you this morning in a fresh way. If there's a prayer team and elders, I ask you to come forward. You've been saying, Alex, I've been in this season. I know he's good. I'm reading my Bible. I'm staying faithful. But honestly, I need a touch from him. I'm telling you, you're going to receive a touch from him this morning in such an awesome way. His presence is going to flood you in an amazing way. The areas that you've been feeling, the desert dryness, I'm believing this morning as we anchor ourselves as a people of prayer, as we're throwing up our hands as a sign of dependence, he wants to come in and flood us with his presence. So we're going to sing, Build My Life. We're going to worship. But if that's you, I want to invite you to come up front. I want you to get some prayer this morning, and we're going to declare his presence. We're going to ask that the rivers of heaven, there is a river who makes glad the streams of our God. We're going to believe for that same river to come here this morning, amen, and touch you and fill you and flow through your life. So I invite you to come forward and let's worship together. I just also feel this morning that God wants to activate some fresh gifts today. I feel that God wants to activate some spiritual gifts. I see a couple people in here. I see that you've had giftings that God has not used you in a long time to use. I see a couple of people in here that you've preached before. You've had giftings that you've used that you haven't used in a long time. God is saying today, I want to bring fresh oil to that area. You've been a teacher. You've been a worship leader. You've done something in pastoral ministry before. Understand, God is here this morning saying, it's time to activate that thing. It's time to get that thing out of the shed. It's time to get that thing out of the case. I'm pouring fresh oil on that gifting today. Not so you can become greater, so my kingdom can become greater. If that's you right now, I need both hands in the air. You're saying, I feel God is speaking to me about something, a gifting. Lord, right now, we activate the giftings of God in this house. God, right now, we ask for fresh oil to come upon this family. God, the ancient giftings that you've given them, the ancient anointings, Lord God, the things that you've deposited in them, you're saying now is the time to stir them up. Now is the time for fresh activation. I want to use you for my kingdom. I'm going to use you for my mission. You become a person dependent on me that my presence is flowing through. So God, we ask that you would speak to dreams that have died. We pray for resurrection in the name of Jesus. God, dreams that people have put on the back shelf, you're saying, dust it off. It's time. Giftings that people in this room have said, I'll never be able to use this gift again. God, you're saying, get ready. I'm about to blow your mind. I'm going to use that gifting for my kingdom. We release fresh workers for your harvest. We release fresh workers for families in this area. We release fresh entrepreneurs for the best businesses idea this area has ever seen, Lord God. Not just missionaries overseas, God, workers that are here serving faithfully in this area in the name of Jesus. God is saying, now is the time. Don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. Just stay in my presence. Stay in the pocket of my presence. Go deeper in me. Set your roots down. Build your life upon the foundation of my presence and my word. Let's sing that again. Let's sing that bridge again. Come on, sing it out. This is for us this morning. I'll put my trust in you alone. Will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put
while there's still people being ministered to right now, I just wonder if you're here in this place right now, would you close your eyes and just again, if we could extend our hands to the Lord as a way of saying, Lord, I'm surrendering to you and your will. And I don't know, I thank you, Alex, for what you said, and thank you for that word. You know, it's not every day that you hear a guest speaker tell you you're puny, and then you realize that's an encouraging message. But Lord, I was just thinking, I was praying for someone in the back, and I was praying, there's this moment, and I don't know if some of you have family members who are in dire straits. They're things, everything they've tried has failed, everything they've done is messed up, and they're in this, they feel like nothing is working. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that with that brokenness, Lord, that they will turn their eyes to you. In that brokenness, Lord, those who don't know you, they've tried it on their own, they've been fighting and pushing. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would start ministering to them. Lord, that you would start having their hearts turn to you in this moment. Lord, for those of you, maybe you're here right now and you're thinking of somebody who, man, they seem so proud, they seem so strong, so confident. Well, I'm telling you right now, I believe that that's a front. That's a front. And the Lord is saying, I can see through that. And right now, Lord, we just release you in your presence, Lord, to come after those people. Lord, to start turning their hearts towards you. Lord, use us in this time, Lord, in our brokenness and how messed up we are. Lord, use us to advance your kingdom. We know it's you, Jesus. We know it's you. Lord, thank you that in our weakness, you are strong. Thank you that we don't have to do this on our own. And in fact, we're not even supposed to do it in our own strength. Thank you for that release. Maybe you just need to release that to him right now. It's just release control, release wanting to be in charge, release, like Alex said, wanting to have your voice be the same as God's. Just say, nope, I'm just a listener. Nope, I'm just obeying. I'm just going to do what you ask, Lord. That's where that harvest gets reaped. That's where that harvest is pulled from. You know, I was looking at some farmers over in the fall there, and you know, it's funny, a lot of them just sit in a tractor. They're just sitting in the tractor. The tractor is doing all the work. They don't even have to touch the steering wheel. They're just in it. And I feel like the Lord is saying, let me do the harvest. You just sit in the seat. You just do it. You just pray the whole time. You just stay with me. And trust me, I will get you around this field and I will get the most harvest possible. But it's only if you let go of that steering wheel and let me drive this thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you just extend your hands to Alex and Jody? I want to pray a blessing over them. Lord, thank you for this couple. Thank you for their heart for you and your mission. Right now, we want to pray blessings over them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the desires of their heart that they have, Lord, that you would fulfill them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need and beyond. Lord, I pray that you give them such a financial, spiritual, emotional, family blessing in the name of Jesus that there is no doubt in their minds and those around them that it's you that's doing it. Lord, I pray that you encourage them and strengthen them. Give them more vision. Give them more. Lord, continue to give them the things that they should have and take away the things that they shouldn't. Lord, we pray these things. We pray a blessing over them, their ministries, what they're doing for Elam Fellowship, what they're doing for Basic. We pray you bless it tenfold in the name of Jesus. Thank you for them. Thank you for their friendship. Thank you for their hearts for you and your kingdom. And we just pray a blessing over them in the name of Jesus. Can we give the Lord a clap and for them? Awesome, awesome. God is good. Amen.